Amen. That was beautiful. There is a brighter day coming. My daddy always said, keep looking up because Jesus ain't coming from below. Keep looking up. There's a brighter day coming. You know, I was excited as they were singing to think about the fact that's homegrown talent right here. Town East grew up right here. And what a blessing. All four of them grew up right here at Town East. So talented, so talented. One family, too. It's all one family. All related. I don't know why God gives all the talent to just, you know, one family like that, but he did in that case. Amen. I want you to take the Word of God and join with me at Deuteronomy chapter 4. Last week we started this as we're preparing our hearts for our missions conference, and I'm building up to the introduction of a theme. And once I introduce that, you'll see what all these previous messages were for and why they were there and what they were about. You'll see why it all fits in. But we started out in the 29th Psalm, which is also the Psalm that Brother John Cantor read from this morning. And in that, over and over and over again, we saw the voice of God. The voice of God. Over and over, when I read it last week, I had you underline the voice of God. And David, as he is praising the Lord, he spends a moment of time just praising the voice of God. We talked about some ways that people in biblical days heard the voice of God and how God communicated to them through various things. And we all agreed that we wish that things were like that today. We wish that we had a burning bush. Sometimes I wish God would just write on the wall. I wish that I could have a staff meeting at some point, and then suddenly there'd just be, you know, the lights go out and the spotlight shine on the wall, and, you know, maybe the holy whiteboard would suddenly start seeing a hand writing on it, the answers and the solution. Wouldn't that be great, Brother Kyle? Sometimes we're in there pondering problems and trying to get through things and looking for solutions. And you know, I think when we turn the light on, we'd find out that that's actually Miss Kristen's hand writing on the wall telling us what we need to do there. But in any case, I wish that sometimes God would just communicate that way and just be so bold and so plain. And sometimes we in this modern world, we get to thinking that God's gone silent, that he just doesn't speak to man anymore because we haven't had that burning bush. We haven't had that cloud or a voice just suddenly started speaking to us or a bright light. And I wanted to point out last week, and we did, we pointed out that God has not stopped speaking. But God does speak, and he speaks through his word. God speaks through his pulpit. He uses the preacher to often speak to his people. And every time a preacher goes behind this sacred desk, we are aware that we are a mouthpiece for God. And that is not something that should ever be entered into lightly. But every message, I believe, is designed for somebody in the room. I think that God stirs our heart to bring something. And I often don't know who it's for, have no idea, don't know why God led me to bring this particular message or from this particular passage, but I have to believe that in the stirring of God, there's something in it that he is wanting to convey to his people, and often it could be for one person in that gathering. And I've had people come out and say, preacher, that message was for me. I needed that. That one was for me. And I'm thinking, man, I had no idea how God was going to use it, but God always has a plan and a purpose. And he still uses his pulpit to convey his voice. Then we pointed out that God uses the Holy Spirit. When Jesus ascended into heaven, he said, I will not leave you comfortless. And he sent the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit is omnipresent, meaning that he's everywhere all at once. And that Holy Spirit, when we become saved, comes inside of us. And God speaks to us through the power of the Holy Spirit. And in that, we see that that is a guide, and we see that he is a convictor, and all those things that we pointed out last week. And he uses our conscience, speaks to us through our conscience. He's that still, small voice that is heard within ourselves. And he's still speaking. And God wants to talk to you. God wants to communicate with you. A man one time was in a helicopter and he was flying over some very windy mountainous roads. And as he got to looking down, he saw a semi-truck that was going up through those mountains and driving very very slowly. And he noticed that behind this big semi-truck, there was a supercar, some kind of very nice sports car, possibly a Corvette or Ferrari or something of that nature, but a red sports car was behind that semi-truck. And it was going through that same road and driving very slowly behind that big old 18-wheeler. And he could see at times that that car was getting impatient and that that sports car would veer over to the left and try to peer around, but yet it couldn't see around the next corner. Everywhere it would go, there'd be a corner there, and he could never feel that it was safe to pass. But the man in the helicopter noted that he could see for miles ahead and noted that there were no oncoming cars, and so it would have been safe for that sports car to at any point go around that semi and just get on its way, driving at the speed that it was, of course, built to drive, and that driver wanting to enjoy those curvy roads in such a fine automobile. He thought to himself, man, it's too bad. It's too bad that I can't communicate with this guy. From where I'm at, I can see all of this, and I can see that it's clear and it's safe, and if I could somehow speak to him, I could tell him that it's okay to go around, but we don't have any way to communicate. And so that helicopter driver could feel the frustration of that sports car driver as he was unable to pass. Well, you know, God is in heaven, and he sees around the corners of our life. He sees what's up ahead. He sees around the curves. And here's the good news. God has provided for himself a way to communicate with his child. And when Jesus ascended, the Holy Spirit came upon us and dwelt among us and has stayed here and has become that voice of God inside of us where God can communicate his will and his desires and his warnings and all the things that he would want to communicate to man. The Holy Spirit is so important. So we've established that there's three ways that God's going to speak to you. He's going to speak to you through his precious word. And man, it's just a living book and it's supernatural. We have also established he's going to communicate to you through your preacher. Now, remember this. If you're not there to hear it, you don't hear what God has to say for you. And if you're here and not here, you do not hear what God has to say for you. I see people sometimes go to the gym where I go work out. There's this one guy in particular. He comes to the gym often at the Planet Fitness over here on WW White. I'll go in there and, you know, pick up a few weights. I've always believed that when you pick up something and it makes you go, ah, you should put it back down. But there's this one guy that comes, and he comes regularly. But you know what I notice about him? He never exercises. He just walks around talking to people, and he'll sit on a machine. He'll just sit there and talk to the people next to him. Everybody kind of avoids him, you know. But here's a guy that's in the right place, and he's made time to go there. But how many of you believe he's probably not getting any benefit from it? The same is true with the church member that comes to church and doesn't come to hear the sermon. The same is true for that church member that comes to church and allows themselves to be distracted the whole service. That one that's sitting here thinking about other things, that's tuning the preacher out. That one playing on their cell phone the whole service. Amen? Amen. We get on to our kids for that. That one that's sitting here thinking about what they're going to do tomorrow. That one that's sitting here wondering and looking around the room and looking at that woman and saying, God, I can't believe she wore that. They're in the middle of the sermon. That one that's sitting here saying, man, it's too bad brother so-and-so wasn't here today. He needed that message. Listen, preaching only helps when you're here to hear it. And when you're here, plan to hear it. Don't come and just be here without being here. I remember my mom used to do this to me a lot. She'd say, son, she'd give me instruction, and then she would say, son, did you hear me? And I'd say, yes, Mom, I heard you. And then she'd stop and look at me again. She'd squirt and go, but did you hear me? Any of y'all's moms ever say that? And you know what she meant. Listen, come to hear the preaching, because God speaks through preaching. And God speaks to the Holy Spirit. And I warned you that you can turn him down. You can mute him. You can literally turn him way down where you just don't hear him anymore. And we ended on that. Now I want to go into a part two of this. We're going to start out in Deuteronomy 4. But I want to give you five messages that God speaks to man. There's five purposes in when God speaks. That when God speaks to you, it's to fulfill one of these five things. And we're going to look at it quickly, but I want to start out in Deuteronomy 4. If you're there, say amen. Amen. Let's look at it together then. Deuteronomy 4, verse 14. I'm sorry, Deuteronomy 4, verse 1. I'm sorry. Let's look at starting in verse 1. We're going to go up to verse 14. Now, therefore, hearken. If you have your pen, underline the word hearken. That's a word you see in the Bible a lot. We don't use it a whole lot today, but I looked it up. I had a feeling I knew what it meant, and I've always kind of understood it, although I've never actually studied the word. But you know what the word literally means? It means to listen and obey or fulfill. So hearken. He's saying listen and obey. You know, I've learned that some people hear but do not hearken. Some people hear but do not hearken. Hearken means you go the whole distance. You hear it and you do it. So when you hear preaching, you should hearken. Don't just hear it, but do what the Holy Spirit is convicting you to do. When you read the Word of God, don't just hear it, but hearken unto it. Hear it and obey it. So God says, now therefore hearken. He is saying, Israel, I want you to hear me and do what I'm telling you to do. Listen and obey. Listen and obey. We see a lot of people that fail in the area of hearkening. They hear, but it doesn't mean that they're hearkening, where they have put to action what they've heard. Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you, for to do them that ye may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. So these statutes and these judgments, what would we call those things today? What we, somebody say it out loud. The law. And what is the law a part of? The Word of God. So we see here that these judgments, these statutes, they became part of the law of Moses, which became the Pentateuch, which is a part of the Old Testament, which is, of course, included in what we call the Word of God, the Bible. So we see all of this preserved in this. These same statutes that he is telling them to hearken, to hear and obey. All right, he says in verse 2, ye shall not add unto the word which I commanded you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of Baal Peor. For all the men that followed Baal Peor, the Lord thy God hath destroyed them from among you. But ye that did cleave unto the Lord your God are alive, every one of you, this day. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so in the land whether you go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. By the way, you can look at verse 6, maybe make a note next to it, that the key to being a great nation is to hold the Bible high. He is saying that if you do these things, other nations are going to look at you and see the difference. These laws and statutes that I am giving to you are going to make you a better people than the neighbors around you. You're going to be a better nation, a better country. You're going to be a blessed country. And everybody around you will say there is something to this God that they serve. Now look at verse 7. For what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? And what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? This law set Israel apart. Other nations had tyranny. Other nations had dictatorships. Other nations had lawlessness. But God said people are going to look at the organization and the order, and they're going to say that there is no nation that has laws that make them as great as this nation. The Word of God makes nations great. Now, verse 9, only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. Now, notice this in verse 10. He's telling them to remember some things and to teach them to their kids, to rehearse them, to pass this down. Don't let this thing get lost. Then he says, specially. Now, catch what this is going to be about. Really tune in now. He says, teach these things to your kids, specially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. And ye come near and stood under the mountain, and the mountain burned with fire under the midst of heaven with darkness, clouds, and thick darkness. Now catch this. And the Lord spake unto you out of the midst of the fire. Ye heard the voice of the words, but saw no similitude, only ye heard a voice. And he declared unto you his covenant, which he commanded you to perform, even 10 commandments. And he wrote them upon 2 tables of stone. And the Lord commanded me at that time to teach you statutes and judgments, that ye might do them in the land whether you go over to possess it. Now we see that Moses has gathered the people together, and he's reminding them. And he says, there's some things you need to teach to your kids and remind them, and especially that day that God gathered us around and we heard his voice. We didn't see his figure. We didn't see his person, but we heard his voice, and God instructed us out of that darkness and out of that smoke. He said, don't ever forget it. Don't let it get forgotten. You remember it and you tell your kids about it, because it was a powerful, it was a unique moment when we heard the voice of God. Oh, what an amazing thing. The people got to hear God speak to them and instruct them. Now let's go over here, if you will, to Deuteronomy 28. Moses says, we can't forget about that. God spoke to us. God said things that were important. And God told us what he wanted from us and what he wanted for us. Don't ever forget it. The power of the voice of God. Now, in Deuteronomy 28, pick it up there in verse 1, it says, and it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken, there's that word again, to pay attention, to hear and obey, to observe and do what you've been told to do. Hearken. Notice this, he says, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. We see this, if you'll listen to the voice of God, you'll have power, you'll have position, you'll have prestige. 3 things that are very important to mankind. God says, if you'll just listen to me and hearken to my voice, do what I tell you to do, I will bring you as a nation. I will lift you above all other nations. Other people will see your power, your position, your prestige. Verse number 2, and all these blessings shall come on thee. If you have your pen, underline that. All these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee. You ever just get overwhelmed with the blessing of God? God says, hey, you listen to my voice and you hearken to me, all these blessings are going to come upon you and overtake you. Man, have you ever been so blessed of God that you just feel overwhelmed in your heart? God says, I'm going to overwhelm you with blessings. I'm going to do things for you that you're just going to be like, wow. You ever had somebody give you a gift and it just left you speechless? God says, I'm going to overtake you with blessings. I mean, blessings that you're just not even going to know how to handle this. You're not even going to know how to correctly praise me for it. I'm going to pour it on you. How do you get it? Hearkening unto me. Hearkening unto me. Hearing me. Listening to me. Obeying me. He says, these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. I don't know about you, but I sure would like to be overwhelmed by God's goodness. Who's with me on that? Say amen. Man, he's done it to me many times, but I love it when it happens. But I've never felt that when I was living in sin. I never felt that when I was doing my own thing. I never felt that when I was not obeying the voice of the Lord. But many times in the power and the will of God, I have felt God overwhelm me with his goodness. And God said he would do that for them. Now notice this, verse 3. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. There we see provision. Blessed in the city and in the field. In the marketplace and out in the field, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to provide for you. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thine kind, and the flocks of thy sheep. There we again see prosperity. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. There we see prosperity again. A blessing. What is that blessing from? Hearkening unto the voice of the Lord. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. That's talking about respect. Hey, that all comes when you hearken unto the voice of the Lord. We go on, he says, the Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. You know what he's talking about there? He's talking about being having a prevalence or a prevailing of victory over your enemies. That all happens when you are hearkening unto the voice of the Lord. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee and thy storehouses, and in all that thou settest thine hand unto, and he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. There again we see God promising a blessing of prosperity. In fact, if we keep on reading through it all the way to verse 14, he covers the blessings that will happen if you are hearkening unto the voice of God. And you know what you'll notice if you read through verse 14? You'll see that 9 times God talks about specific blessings that will come upon you if you will listen to him, if you will hear and hearken unto his voice. 9 times. Now, when we get up to verse number 15, the mood shifts because it shows what happens to the ones that do not listen or hearken to the voice of God. Let's pick it up there in verse 15. I mean, we see preservation. We see them prevailing. We see respect. We see prosperity. We see provision all the way up to verse 14 where it's saying, if you do these things, or if you hearken unto me, these things will happen to you. 9 different things are said. The word blessed is used 9 times. Verse 15. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. If you have your pen, underline that. So we see 14 verses of what will happen. 9 times you'll get blessed. 9 different ways. But then we get to verse 15. Now he's going to give the other side of it. To observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses, if you have your pen, underline every time you see the word curse or curses or cursed. So we see it mentioned in verse 15 the first time. All these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. How many of you believe sincerely that blessing is better than cursing? That's pretty elementary, isn't it? We want to be in the first 14 verses crowd. How many of you want to be in the blessed crowd? What do you got to do? Hearken. What does hearken mean? Just hearing it? It means putting it to action. Listen and obey. So to be in the first 14 crowd, 1 through 14 crowd, you got to hearken. To be in the next crowd, you got to be the person that's got some hearing issues. Somebody looked at me and said, huh? Now notice this. We see the word curses in verse 15. Look at verse 16. Cursed shalt thou be in the city, and cursed shalt thou be in the field. A direct opposite of what he said to the crowd that hearkens. Then he says, cursed shall be thy basket and thy store. Again, direct opposite. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy land, the increase of thy kind and the flocks of thy sheep. You know, when you look at verse 18, cursed shall be the fruit of thy body. What is the fruit of the body? Children. That means that if we don't hearken to God, we can pass things down that our children will have to deal with. How many of you see that there? Who would want that? Nobody. Nobody. But he is warning Israel, if you as a generation don't listen to me, generations behind you will be dealing with your failure. Boy, that's a sobering thought as a parent. Listen to me, parents. Prioritize correctly. prioritize correctly. Teach your children to obey the voice of God, and you teach them by you obeying the voice of God. Teach your children when you're writing your tithe check out on Sunday, son, we do this to obey the voice of God. Teach your children when you go to church, even when you're tired and even when you're weary and even when you've had a bad week, and you get your kids up and you say, we're going to the house of God because we want to obey the voice of God that says, come hither. Hey, teach your children the importance of obeying the voice of God and pass that down to them so they can be blessed. Because we see that the fruit of our bodies can be cursed if we do not hearken to the voice of the Lord. Now he says, cursed shall be the fruit of thy body. And then number 19, cursed shalt thou be when thou comest in. So basically, in verse 20, the Lord shall send upon thee cursing, vexation, and rebuke, and all that setteth in thy hand. You can keep reading down, but you see that the polar opposite of what God said, I will bless you in these ways, he comes along and says, I will curse you if you fail to hear my voice. So we have concluded that God is still speaking. We know that God spoke today and they literally got to hear his voice. That generation got to stand and hear the voice of God speak to them. And Moses says, we can never forget this. We can never remove this. We've got to pass this down to our kids that we heard the voice of God and it instructed us in his judgments and his principles and his laws. And we've got to pass this to our kids. Then later on, he's talking about the voice of God and he says, hey, God will bless us. And there's nine times that he uses that word blessed or blessed or blessing. Then we get into the cursings, the next portion of it. God is still speaking, and it's very important that we are hearkening. It's very important that we are hearing what God is saying. Now, we've concluded the three ways that God speaks to us today. Now, I want to give you quickly the reasons that God speaks to man. Number one, God is still speaking to man in order to convict him. In order to convict him. Say that with me. In order to convict him. Say it again. In order to convict him. The voice of God speaks through the Holy Spirit and is still trying to guide the child of God. And he guides us through this medium of conviction, this phenomenon that we can have in our spirit called conviction. And the Holy Spirit is trying to convict the sinner to come out of sin and live under righteousness. And God is calling to the unsaved sinner to come out of sin unto salvation. And the Holy Spirit is always seeking to speak to you to deliver the convicting voice of God. That voice speaks when you are confronted with temptation. Has anybody ever been there? In a place of temptation. And there's the voice of the tempter. That voice of the tempter tells you, it's okay. It'll be all right. Everybody does it. You won't get caught. Hey, you're just human. Sometimes you just got to live. And that's the voice of that tempter. But at the same time, there's the voice of conviction that the Holy Spirit is giving to you at the time of your temptation that says, no, don't do this. You will get caught. No, don't do this. People will not respect you. No, don't do this. You won't have the power of God on your life. Hey, no, don't listen to that other voice. Hey, this is not worth doing. The cost will be great. And you're standing there at that place of temptation hearing these voices. Next week, I plan to bring a message Sunday morning on whose voice are you listening to. Not every voice is a Holy Spirit voice inside of you. We'll talk about that next week. But always at the place of temptation, you've got one spirit talking to you, and the Holy Spirit is the voice of God telling you not to do it. That's conviction. God trying to convict you. When you are living in sin, but you can't comfortably live in sin, it's a hard thing to watch a child of God, a legitimately saved person who's dwelling in sin. And when you watch them, you see that it's not a fun place. It's not a comfortable place. It's a place of constant fear. It's a place where everything that happens makes you wonder if the judgment hand of God is about to strike. What's going on there? That's the conviction voice of God through the Holy Spirit in your spirit, trying to get to convict you out of that place of sin. The voice of God still speaks to convict. When you are faced with a decision, the Holy Spirit, through conviction, can be the voice of discernment to help you make a right decision. And that conviction inside of you will lead you to where you need to go. When you're in church and the preaching is pushing you towards a decision, that is the voice of God through the Holy Spirit convicting you. Has anybody in here ever gotten convicted while sitting in church hearing a sermon? Isn't that frustrating? How many of you ever were sitting in church and suddenly the preacher got on something that maybe you didn't realize was wrong and you've been enjoying it? Then all of a sudden he got on it and he didn't know what a clean kill was. Maybe it was a rabbit that got up and he shot it and then just drug it back and forth, you know, over the altar here. You've ever been in a situation where you couldn't wait for the altar call so you could come up and get right with God? About midway through the message, you're like, man, I get it. I get it. Boy, that message seems so long. Oh, man, when you're under conviction, you think that preacher preached for 3 hours. What's happening there, though, you're under conviction. That's the voice of God talking to you through the Holy Spirit. And you've got to listen. You've got to hearken to that voice. Now, once you're convicted, you have a choice. You've got to deal with it. Either you'll walk away from it, walk out of this building, go get in your car and leave just as much in sin as you were before you came. Or you will come forward and deal with it through repentance. But conviction will bring you to a place of having to deal with it. You ever been somewhere where you shouldn't be? You young people, you're going to notice this is going to happen to y'all. As you get older, mom and dad can't watch you all the time. And you get to get out on your own. I mean, Thad, you're out at college now. And Julian, you guys are all out of school. You don't have Mr. Lemoy to give you a blue slip anymore. Brother Davis to get on to you, or Brother J.D., and you know what? You're out there, man. You can do whatever you want. Not you, Julian, but Julian, you just remember, I'm everywhere, buddy. Here's the reality, though. When you get out there on your own and you've been told that certain places are wrong and evil and certain crowds, I don't know the crowd that's at the college you attend, but I bet you there's a bad crowd. There always seems to be. And they may suck you into something. You may get there and be like, hey, there's no one here to tell me no. No one to get on to me. I'm not going to be called in the principal's office next week. But I'm going to tell you something. When you go to that and you sit there with people doing wicked things all around you, you're not going to feel comfortable. Because the voice of God is going to be calling out to you through the Holy Spirit, get me out of here. I don't want to be in here. Listen to me, sheep don't like swimming with the pigs. They don't like hanging out where the pigs hang out. And you may go and see them drinking all around you and doing drugs and doing things. And mom and dad aren't there to get on to you. No one's there to stop you. There's no teacher there to get on. The Holy Spirit's voice will be there. Now the question is, will you hearken? Because you can mute it. You can mute it. And God is still speaking to convict. That voice is still there for us today. Number two, God is still speaking to condemn. Now, this is a side of God that we don't really like to talk about a whole lot because we know that God is love and God is gracious and God is merciful. And we're all examples of that. When God forgave us of our sins, He forgave us of not only the sins that we had committed, but every sin we would ever commit. And when our name was put in the book of life, it's there permanently. And God's grace is sufficient for each and every day. And we could spend hours and hours speaking about the love of the Lord, but there is the voice of condemnation, and God is still on the throne of judgment. His eyes have not gone blind. His ears have not grown deaf. His morality has not grown soft. His voice has not gone silent. And I want to say that, sinner, beware, lest you bring on the voice of judgment from Almighty God. You see, Belshazzar heard this voice in the form of handwriting on the wall. It told him that his soul would be required of him tonight and his kingdom would be taken away. And Cain heard this voice of God as God condemned him for what he had done to his brother. And Sodom and Gomorrah heard the voice of God as he condemned them for the sins that had reached his nostrils. King Herod Agrippa got up and took the glories of God and received the praise that was reserved for God. God struck him dead. The Bible says the worms devoured his body. God still has a voice of condemnation. God is still in control. He is still involved and he is still speaking to condemn the wicked. I want you to join with me in Matthew chapter 7. Anybody out there? Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And God speaks to you sometimes to condemn things. Maybe condemning things that you're doing in your life or condemning things that maybe God expects you to step up and preach against or stand against. Often the prophets would receive a message of condemnation to carry to the people with the hopes that they would repent. But God was condemning their idolatry, condemning their various sins. But in Matthew 7, we see these verses here. Matthew 7, look at verse 22. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. There we see the voice of the Lord speaking back to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. In Revelation 20, verse 15, we see that God's sitting on the throne, and that the voice of God condemns. And the Bible says that whosoever was not found written in the book of life was then cast into the lake of fire. This is that point where God says, depart from me, I never knew you. And that will be followed up with the condemnation voice of God. My friend, if you ignore the voice of God as he is convicting you, you will next hear the voice of God as he condemns you. Did you hear what I just said? We see that God still speaks to convict. That's that warning before condemnation. God always warns before he condemns. And that is where we see the graciousness and the mercy and the goodness of God. God convicts and he sends his messenger to hear his voice. He sends the Holy Spirit to try to convict you. But if you ignore the voice of God as he is convicting you, you will next hear the voice of God as he condemns you. Sinner in the room who's yet to be saved. People don't like to be called sinners, but that's what the Bible calls us. By the way, every one of us are nothing more than sinners saved by God's grace. But if you're in the room and you're still living on that other side, and the Holy Spirit is trying to convict you, the Holy Spirit saying, you need to get saved. You need to give your heart to Christ. You can ignore that voice of conviction, but one day you will hear the voice of condemnation. My advice to you is don't ignore the voice of conviction. Yield to it. Hearken unto it. That is God warning you that I want to save you. I don't want to condemn you. And God is still speaking to condemn things. Number three, God is still speaking to coach you. To coach you. The Holy Spirit is there to guide and coach the child of God. To instruct, to lead, to bring in the right direction. God is still trying to coach you in how to live. Trying to tell you not only how to walk, but where to walk. God wants to lead you into good places in your life. He is the shepherd that will lead his sheep to the still waters and the green pastures if the sheep will follow. God is still speaking to you to try to tell you what to do and how to do it. The question is, are you listening? Are you listening? In the 1970s, a World War II vintage aircraft, a B-25 bomber, was found landed in the desert, perfectly intact, covered with some sand, but they dug all that out. When they got in it, they looked it over, and they found out that it was not damaged. It had not been shot down, but it just landed out there. They began to look at the captain's logs, and what they discovered was the demise of the Lady Be Good B-25 Mitchell airplane. Was, as they were flying over that desert, they got some magnetic interference, and it messed with their instrument panel. They thought that their instruments were wrong. So they made the decision, the captain did, to ignore the instruments and just fly by the seat of his pants into the darkness of that desert. They came over what their instruments said was their landing zone. But the captain said, there's no way that we could be there this quickly. Unbeknownst to him, apparently he had gotten caught in a tailwind, which greatly sped up their speed. So he approached it quicker than what he expected. So he decided to ignore the instruments, and he just flew out into the desert. Eventually, he ran out of fuel and had to just land on the desert floor. They began to search, and nearby they found the graves of each of the crew members as they waited out there to be rescued, and one by one they each perished. All because the captain did not trust the instrument panel. You know, God has given us an instrument panel. And God speaks to us through the Holy Spirit. And in that, God is coaching us. And the instruments that God has given to us to help guide us as the coach is the instrument panel is this. Number one, the Bible. God has given us the Word of God as an instrument on our instrument panel. And we need to read it and listen to it. And then we see the instruments of conscience through the Holy Spirit and the instruments of godly counsel through godly people that He places in your life. But we know that God is still speaking to us and trying to coach us through His voice to do greater and better things, to have a better life. Number four, and I'm just about done. God still speaks to comfort us. God still speaks to comfort us. The three Hebrew children heard the voice of God comforting them in the furnace. The apostles heard it in the storm when Jesus stood up and said, "Peace be still." And in the storms of our life, God is still speaking words of comfort to us. And I'll tell you, this voice can be amplified at times, depending on what you're going through. I've shared this before, but I was in a horrible motorcycle accident when I was 25 years old. I was hit head on, broke both arms. I broke both arms, my hip, my shoulder. My right knee was dislocated. I had an internal injury, 7 surgeries, 2 years of recovering, almost 4 months in a wheelchair. And I spent a long time in the hospital. I didn't know where I was the first 3 days. And then on the fourth day, I started coming to and started gaining consciousness of, you know, who was around me and the things that were going on. And I remember the first meeting I had with my orthopedic surgeon who had already performed 2 surgeries on me. And this is the first time I'm actually talking to him. I've been in the hospital for 4 days. He said, "Son, you're hurt very badly. I'm not going to lie to you. You're not out of this." And he said, "There's a great possibility that I'll have to take your left arm and your left leg." He said, "I am monitoring it. But," he said, "you came in greatly damaged." And every morning I'd see that. I dreaded seeing him come. Because every morning he'd come in to see me, and he had unwrapped my bandages. My leg was in a thing, then it had it up in a chain that took it up to the ceiling, and my left arm was up in a chain. and they had actually taken, they'd actually done a surgery to clean this. I lost 4 inches of bone in this arm, and they had to put it back together. And he'd unwrap it, he'd smell it. And man, it was just a lonely time. And day after day, I'd lay there. And I'm going to tell you something, man. I don't know how to explain it. I was 25 years old, been raised in a preacher's home, gone to a Christian school, had already graduated from Bible college. But I never heard the voice of God like I did in that hospital room. I never felt the presence of God stronger than I did during that period of time in my life. And I would classify it as the time when I was the most afraid, the most scared, wondering if I would be whole ever again, wondering if the next 50 years of my life, would I be living it without a leg and an arm? And man, God spoke to me. And it was such a precious time. And I could feel him. I mean, I don't know how to explain this to people without feeling like I'm some kind of weirdo. But I felt it in a way, and I've longed for it. I've never felt it like that again because I got well and life went on. And God spared my left arm and he spared my left leg. And eventually I went through therapy and got back to life. And the amplified sound of God's voice in my heart that was comforting me was so sweet and precious. And when I needed it the most, it was there. When life got back to normal, it went back to the still small voice. And I don't know how to tell you this. Some of you may have experienced it. But the voice of God is still there to comfort us. And when you need it, you're going to hear him. You're going to feel him. Now lastly, God is still speaking to call you. God is still speaking to call. Moses heard it from a burning bush. Samuel heard it in the middle of the night. And he said, "Here am I, Lord. Here am I." John heard it while he was on the island of Patmos. And it told him to write the book of Revelation. The apostles heard it when the Lord called them to be fishers of men. And God is still calling people today. He's still calling people, number one, into his service. I think about how Peter got frustrated and went back to fishing, and the Lord went to see him and said, "Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Do what I've called you to do. Do what I've called you to do." Listen to me, beloved. God is still calling people into his service. He's still calling preachers and teachers and servants and singers and trying to fulfill local church jobs that must be performed for God's work to be prosperous. God is still calling people to sweep the floors at the church. God is still calling people to come mow the lawns at the church. God is still calling people to work in a nursery at the local church. God is still calling people to run bus routes and van routes. And God is still calling the people to do his work, to feed his sheep. And God is calling to you to do something for him. What is it? Are you hearkening under the voice of God's calling in your life? And God is still calling people to serve, but God is also still calling people to go soul winning. Are you listening to that call? God wants you to reach other people for him. I was just right down here 3 days ago. I was down here at the QT. I pulled in there to get gas. And often when I'm pumping gas, the person on the other side, I'll give them one of those hope cards. John, those little hope cards that you brought up here. I've never had anybody tell me no. I look at people and say, "Let me give you some hope." They'll look down at it and smile and they'll take it. They'll see the word hope on it. It's very effective. I handed the young man on the other side of the pump, I said, "Hey, let me give you something to read." And I handed him that hope card. He looked down at it, and we started talking. I invited him to church. And he looked at me, and he looked kind of stunned. And I thought, "Man, do I owe you money or something? I don't know." He was looking at me like, and I said, I invited him to church, and he said, "This is so weird." And I said, "What's weird?" And he said, "I haven't been to my church in 2 months." He said, "I was raised in church, and I haven't been the last 2 months. I've skipped the last 2 months just doing other things." And he said, "This morning I was literally thinking on the way, right before I pulled into this gas station, I was thinking about the fact that I need to get back into church because it's been 2 months since I've been." And he said, "I was feeling bad about it." And then all of a sudden, God sends a preacher to come over to me and talk to me. He said, "Man, you know what happened there? He heard the voice of God." But it all happened because of a soul-winning call. God said, "Give that man a track." I don't always do it like I should, but there are times that I just feel this overwhelming calling to give somebody a gospel track. And I have many stories like this where after I've handed it to them, you'll hear something amazing where the Holy Spirit was already working in their life, and then God used you as an instrument in His calling. And it's a wonderful thing. But God's still calling people to go soul winning. Do you hear the call of God in your life? God is still calling for service, and He's still calling for soul winners, and He is still calling, lastly, for sinners to be saved. God is still calling to that sinner. Paul heard it. He heard the call on the road to Damascus. Do you hear Him calling you? Do you hear Him calling you? Jesus wants to save you. Jesus wants to adopt you into His family. And He's calling to you to come out of this world and let me save you. And He's calling to you to lay down whatever excuse you've got and just come to me. And I'll give you rest. I'll forgive you of your sins, and I'll write your name in the book of life. And this morning, it could be that there's someone sitting here that the voice of God is calling to you to come. Come, give your heart to me. I'll close with this. I had a friend when I was a boy that had a beagle. We went out rabbit hunting. We were rabbit hunting in a big field, and running along, paralleling this huge field, was a busy road. And this dog began to chase a rabbit, and he was a very good rabbit dog. He had a great nose. And I remember as he began to chase that rabbit ran toward the road and crossed the road. And, of course, the dog was chasing the rabbit. And as we were standing there, we could see a big truck was zooming down that road, a big, big farm truck. We could see that dog was headed chasing that rabbit. Of course, I'm getting ready to, you know, close my eyes. I'm thinking, "Oh, this is going to be bad." And at that moment, my friend began to call his dog's name. The dog's name was Blinky. Blinky. He went, "Blinky! Blinky! Stop! Back! Back!" And I mean, right at the last second before that dog stepped on that road, that dog stopped. That rabbit went on across, and the dog looked back at him and walked back toward him. And that man saved his little dog's life because that little dog hearkened to his master's voice. God's trying to save your life. And He's calling to you because He sees you headed toward a fiery pit called hell. But will you hearken to His voice? I had Him put this picture up. Many of you know what that is. It's an old RCA advertisement where it shows a dog listening to a speaker. The record is a recording of his master's voice, and the dog has come up to hear his master's voice. You know, if a dog can hear his master's voice and hearken unto it, I have a feeling you can too. Let's bow for a word of prayer. God is calling you. God's calling to convict. Sometimes His voice is to condemn what you're doing. Sometimes His voice is the voice of comfort. And sometimes that voice is the call to coach you, to help you through the things you're struggling with. Sometimes that call is there to comfort you. And sometimes the voice of God is there calling you to do what He wants you to do. Do you hear the voice of God calling you this morning? What is he saying? What area? What is the purpose of his voice? Are you under conviction by the voice of God? Hearken unto it. You'll be blessed, not cursed. Maybe it's the voice of comfort you need to hear today. God's still comforting people. And when you need it, you'll hear it. You'll hear it. And it's a sweet voice, like none other. A powerful voice that brings a peace that passes all understanding in the greatest storms of your life. If you'll hear it, maybe you're that sinner in the room today that God's calling to. Would you heed the Master's call? If you say, "Preacher, if I died today, I know that I'm saved." Would you slip your hand up this morning? Oh, I see hands everywhere. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You may lower your hands. Now, let me ask this second question, and please listen to it carefully. Is there anyone here that could say, "Preacher, I'm not ready to meet God. Would you help me?" Nobody looking but me. Would you slip your hand up so I can help you? I'm not going to embarrass you, but I'm not ready to meet God. I need help. God's calling to you. He's using the voice of a preacher this morning to do it. And inside of you, there's the voice of that Holy Spirit calling to you. Will you hearken? Will you hearken? Is there anyone that could say, "Preacher, the message today spoke to my heart, and I want to focus on hearkening to the voice of God"? Would you slip your hand up this morning? Oh, I see hands everywhere. I want to encourage you to come and talk back with God, and we do that through prayer. God speaks to us. We speak to Him through prayer. That's us talking back to God. If God is speaking to you, communicate with Him and have a conversation with Him about what He has spoken to you about. Dear Lord, hear the voice of your people as they wish to respond to hearing your voice through the preaching and the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. We ask this in your blessed name.